All those in favor, those carried. Today we have the feast day for the great mystic of the church, Dionysius. And the gospel, this first gospel that we read was for him. Parables about the kingdom, four statements, three parables, and then a final statement about the kingdom. Very beautiful imagery for us to reflect on. The first two parables are very simple. They both say that when we sort of get a glimpse of that kingdom, we're willing to give up everything for it. And you're wandering through a field and you see this great treasure and you say, oh, I'm going to go sell all that I have and buy this field because the treasure comes with it. I'll have this great treasure. I'm a person who always on the lookout for the best pearl, and I find the best pearl could possibly be had, so I sell everything that I have so I can have this one pearl. So the both of these images that our Lord gives us is important to see that somehow he reveals to us at certain moments in our life this kingdom, this glimpse. We run across it in this world that we live in, walking through a field, or maybe we're in search for it, like a man who's in search of fine pearls, searching for the kingdom. Father Roman emphasizes a lot that all of us, whatever our search is, that people who are exploring the outer regions of the universe, or scientists that are exploring the atom, or whatever it is, but people who just love nature and exploring nature, all of our searches are really ultimately the search we're looking for, the God who created us. We're looking for the kingdom. So when we get a glimpse of it, we'll be confronted with this reality of whether or not we're willing to sell all that we have, give up everything for just one. The thing about the kingdom is that it takes a claim on all of us. We don't get it 50-50 or even 90-10. You can't serve two masters. You either hate the one and love the other, or serve the one and be subject to the other. Our Lord reveals to us the kingdom in some strange way, unique to each of us, and we're put in this position to relinquish those things that we want to hold in its place. We want to keep the aspects of creation as our God instead of the Creator as our God. So the image of the kingdom of God is given to us in a simple way that it is so enticing. If we really glimpse it, if we really let ourselves reflect on it, then we'll let it go, we'll drop, we'll set aside all of those other things that are placeholders for it, all those other things that we search for to substitute. Then there's in the third parable, a kind of a sober realization that there'll come a time when this searching comes to an end at the end of the age, at the second coming. And the kingdom of God is then like this great fishing net that collects everyone, collects all of the fish in the sea. And then the fish are separated into the good and the bad. This is really, I think, an image of the ones who are willing to set aside those things that distracted them from the kingdom versus those who clung to the things of this world. The judgment at the second coming is simply an affirmation of what we ourselves have affirmed in our life. Whether or not we've responded to the revelation that God's given us, the revelation of his kingdom, the brightness, the joy, the presence, the freedom from the cares of this world. Or do we cling to those things in this world that we think that we have control over, that we can sort of manipulate, have power, influence, reputation? And so there'll be a time of reckoning, as it were, but the reckoning will simply be an affirmation of what is in this life, what we've responded to. God, to put it differently, God doesn't force himself on us. God doesn't say to us, you don't want me, but I'm going to force you to be with me anyways. This is really what the third parable is about, that God will not force us to be with him if we've rejected him. And then Jesus asked his disciples if they've understood these things. That's an important question, because earlier in the sequence, this chapter 13 is full of parables of the kingdom, and they didn't understand them at the beginning. The parable of the sower and the seed and the four types of soil, and they wanted an explanation for that and other things. But here they answer, yes, we understand these things now. And so Jesus tells them, now the kingdom is that, let's see, their understanding of this is such that if they're really to enter into it, they'll be like a scribe. A scribe is the one who really knew the law, who interpreted the law, who taught the law. To be like a scribe, and a scribe that is a scribe in the kingdom, he says, and that it'll be like a scribe, he compares a scribe to a householder, to a landowner. And what he says of this householder is that he brings forth new and old out of his treasury. It's a very strange phrase. He brings forth new and old out of his treasury. So the householder has a treasury where he keeps all of the precious and important things he's collected in his life, and he brings forth the new and the old. What is this? Well, the Holy Fathers are almost unanimous in this, saying that the new and the old is the new and the Old Testaments. And it fits with the notion of there being a scribe, because the scribe is the one who read the law, studied the law, interpreted the law, taught the law. And so if we're going to be people who enter into the kingdom, we're going to be made scribes, as it were. And the characteristic of the scribe is being like a homeowner, a landowner, a wealthy person who has a treasury of old things and new things, and those become gifts for other people. There's an overflow, a wealth that comes out as benefit and joy to other people. So really the focus, like St. John Chrysostom and others, St. Augustine, say that this is what we should spend our lives as sort of disciples of the kingdom, to be immersed in the scriptures, the old and the new, Genesis to Revelation. It stood out to me, if I remember correctly, that in the last year of Father Roman's life, before his repose, he decided to read the Old Testament. And when I heard that, I was kind of surprised. I thought he would read the New Testament, the Gospels, the Psalms. He loved the Psalms, but he read through the Old Testament. And what I remember hearing from different people who would stop in and visit him or check on him throughout the day, is that they would come in and he would be reading the Old Testament, and he would stop and he would start telling them something about what he was learning or something about what the scriptures had said, with all of this kind of joy and enthusiasm and delight that he had in his life, but especially for the Holy Scriptures. To me, this is a perfect image of what our Lord teaches us today, that one who's really a disciple of the kingdom, one who's really become trained and taught and immersed in the life of the kingdom will have this inner treasury, the wealth of God's word abiding in him. And when other people come along, it will come out. It will be expressed. It will be life-giving words, not our words, not just quotes from the scriptures, but things that are stored and cherished in our hearts, things that we gave up our lives for, all of our possessions, all of our attachments to this world. We gave up all of those things for this treasure of the Holy Scriptures, of the Word of God incarnate. And that Word has kind of brought more fruit in the treasury of our hearts. and that fruit we can share with other people. It's a very, very beautiful image. So this is the life of Saint Dionysius, who forsook all and gave up all of the things of this world, the philosophical entanglements that he was involved in, and devoted his life to becoming a disciple of the kingdom. And he gave us in his writings tremendous fruits. The mystical life of communion with God, of this life that can't be expressed in sentences or can't even be conceived in the concepts of our mind, but it's this profound intimacy of relating to God, our Creator. So let us follow his direction, his example, and let us follow the words of our Lord in laying aside everything that distracts us from the glimpses of the kingdom that he gives us, and let it take root in our hearts, that we might have something to share with others. In the name of